Thanks, Ben. I think it's safe to put this back up on this table. One thing I realized when the kids were up here is we don't have enough mics. I think it'd be really cool the next time we have kids, for some of you that have gifts of craftsmanship, to make like maybe 50 little mics, wooden ones, and maybe have a little string hanging down and let everybody have their own mic, right? Ron, I wonder where they got that from. That you have to have a mic if you're going to sing. Phenomenal. That's great. Loved it. Okay, the scripture that Bev read is on the back of an insert in your worship folder. And the other scripture that I'm reading is on that worship folder insert as well. This is from the book of Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. And I didn't pull a page number up for the Pew Bible because I'm hoping you'll use the scripture that you have printed there. And we've printed it there so you will follow along with your pencil and be making observations like we've been doing lately in this close reading of scripture. So we had the Philippians text, which is given to us on this third Sunday of Advent, and the Luke text, chapter 3, verses 7 following. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' And he said to them, 'Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And we, what should we do?' And he said to them, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages.' As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, 'I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.'" The word of the Lord. We know that this is true. Regular, personal reflection on Scripture is the most effective way we can get in on what God is up to. So let's read closely these two texts, the one that Beverly read and the one that I just read this morning. Do it together. Let's do this close reading together so that when you're on your own in your homes throughout Monday through Saturday, you can do this sort of thing on your own. And you'll be equipped then to in this most effective way of moving forward. Now, oftentimes when I hear a speaker, I want them to tell me on the front end where they're heading. So point the way. So I'll do that here. Here's where we're going. John warns the crowd to flee from the wrath to come, from unquenchable fire, to repent, flee from unquenchable fire, and choose Holy Spirit fire. So this is the call from this reading on this third Sunday of Advent. You get to choose your fire. Fire is inescapable. It's going to be one or the other. You choose your fire. Let's look at Luke. And so you have this text, and as I kind of give you some maybe insights into close reading, you can make some marks, underline, circle, draw the arrows from here to there. Let's notice a few things in the Luke text. First of all, let's notice the crowds, the word crowds, and how that is repeated throughout this story. People, they, groups, it's repeated three or four times. In fact, crowds in 7, crowds in 10, and then people in 15. And notice in verse 10, some ways of describing the crowds. They come out. They're a coming out crowd. Notice in verse 15, they are a filled with expectation crowd. And notice in 10, they're a questioning crowd. Notice what they say about themselves in verse 8. They self-identify as children of Abraham. But notice the contrast between that and what John calls them. In verse 7, you brood of vipers. So we think we're children of Abraham, and John thinks they have snake DNA in them. You brood of vipers. Now notice the diversity of the crowd. In the crowd, there are people in verse 10 or verse 11 who must have 2 coats and a pantry full. Notice that some of them are tax collectors in verse 12. And notice that some of them seem to be part of this occupying Roman military force. They're soldiers who are coming out. So this crowd is diverse, to say the least. Notice second, the heavy warning of John in verse 7. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Probably not a good opening sentence for a sermon or a teaching if you want people to pay attention, or could it be? And then notice that connected with the wrath is fire. The end of verse 9, there's going to be fire that burns up trees that aren't producing good fruit. And notice fire at the very end of the reading. What is that? Verse 17. Fire that's going to burn up chaff, and it's called unquenchable fire. So associated with this wrath is fire burning up brush and fire burning up chaff. Now notice the contrast, third, and the separations. There are trees that are bearing fruit worthy of repentance, and they are contrasted with, verse 9, trees that are basically bearing rotten fruit. Contrast. And then notice at the very end, the very last verse, the separation or the contrast between the wheat, this is the threshing floor, there's wheat that's gathered into granaries or barns, and contrasted that with the chaff that's going to be burned in unquenchable fire. Notice the two fires. We've hinted at that already. There's going to be brush burning fire, unquenchable fire that burns chaff, judgment fire, wrath. But then there's Holy Spirit fire. Two fires. And then finally, let's notice the three do's. They hear the warning, hey, wrath is going to come, flee from it. And so a good question is asked, what should we do then? Now notice the simple responses that John makes to them. He doesn't say, well, go out into the wilderness and fast for 6 months and get a heavy theology book and read that. These are very, very simple, earthy, basic to-do things. You have 2 coats, give 1. You have a pantry full, open it up. Tax collectors, you know it's standard operating procedure to collect more taxes than you're supposed to. You just don't do that. Soldiers, yeah, you have the gun, you have power, but be content with your wages. These are very simple, earthy, basic dues. And if you will do these, you will be fleeing from the wrath to come. So let's move from John's do's then, list of do's, where he's flee from the wrath to come. to Paul's maybe more gentle do's in the Philippian text. And that's why I put it here right on your sheet so you'd see it side by side. Look at the Philippians 4 text that Beverly read, and I've added more than what she read. But notice the simple, direct do's, the things to do in Philippians. Verse 4, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Verse 6, don't worry. Now with the admonition to don't worry, Paul is suggesting you have a choice. It's not that you have to worry, and nothing else I can do. No, you can choose to not worry, so don't worry. And then what do you do instead? You let your request be made known to God. And then in verse 8, you have it down there, the end of the verse. Don't think about nonsense stuff, but think about whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure. I hear Paul saying again, you have a choice with what you do with your mind. You can think about nonsense stuff, or you can say to your mind, no mind, I'm not going to think about that. I don't want to think about that. I want to think about this. So Paul is admonishing us to think on these things. Notice the two times that peace is mentioned. Verse 7, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. And then at the end, and the God of peace will be with you. I couldn't help but notice, and this will be my final observation in verse 5, the not juxtaposition, but the way these are connected. You see this four-word sentence, the Lord is near, in verse 5? Notice how it's connected with, let your gentleness be known to everyone, the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. Paul probably could have gotten by without putting in there, the Lord is near, but he didn't. Why did he put that in there? And I was reflecting on this notion of gentleness and how when a sage or a saint is ever kind of comes into my world, I tend to quiet down. I'm not as agitated. And I want everybody to know that I want him or her to know that I'm a gentle person. Worry, why would I worry if the Lord is near? I think it's just so hilariously interesting that Paul would have popped that in there. The Lord is near. Observations. So summing up some observations. These are two Advent readings that tell us what to do as we prepare for the Lord's coming. And you know, this is review in Advent. We prepare for the three comings of the Lord. Of course, the baby in a manger. Come on, ring those bells. We are also preparing for the second coming that we know is coming. But we are also preparing for the rhythmic, everyday comings of the Lord, how the Lord comes to us in every everyday event. So they aren't specifically one or the other, but let's pay attention to how these texts can help us in all three of the Lord's comings. As we have been following the Advent readings, and I hope if you haven't been, in the lobby and the table at the back, there are several of these available. If you would like to pick up a list of Advent readings, they're helpful. Kind of pull us all together in the same direction. Some of us have been paying attention to those Advent readings, reading them every day. And we've been seeing that some of these readings have been so good. Just yes. We looked at Isaiah chapter 12 and Zephaniah and Adult Ed earlier this morning. Here's a line from Isaiah chapter 12 that's just so good. With joy you will draw waters from the well of salvation. And I journaled that and I drew a picture. I'm only good with stick figures. So what would it look like to be joyfully drawing waters from the well of salvation? This is part of Advent, thinking forward, thinking of Christ coming, thinking of the second coming, thinking of Christ coming in everyday life. I get to live drinking water out of this well of salvation with joy. So I drew a stick figure with a little ha 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 up beside it. This is what we get. Some of these readings do this to us. But as we've been following the Advent readings, seeing them, paying attention to them, we see that some of them have been really rough. The day of the Lord, the sun turned to blood, mountains erupting, terror. Here's one from Amos 8. Listen to it. This is a reading that we're given. as we prepare. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only child and the end of it like a bitter day. So you get these really good readings, drinking water from the well of salvation, and then, yikes, the day of the Lord. Hide the women and children. Here, in this text, in John, John is making it clear. Flee from the wrath to come. Unquenchable fire is coming. Flee from the wrath to come. There is no escaping fire. You are either burned in unquenchable fire or baptized in Holy Spirit fire. John is saying, flee the one and tuck yourself under the other. Fire consumes. It can only exist as it consumes, burns up. It's going to burn up something. You choose what it burns up, and you choose when it burns it. You can choose the fire of wrath that will consume trees producing rotten fruit and chaff. That fire is reserved for the end, and the call is to flee that fire. Or you can choose, and that's the call in this Advent message, Holy Spirit fire, to burn up stuff now. Present your hands to Holy Spirit fire. Lord, burn up whatever it is that keeps me clutching my two coats. Burn up whatever it is that makes me guard my pantry and afraid that if I share, I might not have enough for me. Oh God, I present my hands to you. I present my closet to you. I present my pantry to you. I'm not gentle when I fear losing control. I shout when I fear that I may be losing my voice, my place. I'm not gentle when it is not going my way. Lord, burn up whatever causes me to clutch control, whatever motivates me to fear. Go ahead, burn it up, Lord. I make it all available to you, Holy Spirit and fire. I present my mind and my heart to you. Let your Holy Spirit fire consume thought patterns that aren't true or honorable or pure or pleasing. I want to think on excellent things, worthy of praise things. Whatever is preventing peace from guarding my mind and my heart, go ahead and burn it up, Lord. I want peace and your presence to be guarding my mind and my heart in Christ Jesus. Choose today, brothers and sisters, Holy Spirit fire on this third Sunday of Advent. Some say that T.S. Eliot was the best poet in the 20th century. T.S. Eliot wrote a manifesto for all the sort of rebellion, the hippie movements, the checking out of the 60s and 70s. The manifesto was called The Wasteland, one of his more famous poems. And the title itself explains the essence of the poem. Everything's a waste. What's the use? Drop out. Rebel. Tear it down. Break it up. T.S. Eliot became a Christian later in life. He joined the church. And his last poem was a response, or if you will, a corrective to his Wasteland poem. And I can hear him saying, I don't want that poem to be my legacy. I need to bring some correction to it. So T.S. Eliot wrote the poem, The Four Quartets. If you've read T.S. Eliot, half the time you scratch your head and are tempted to put the book down. But if you stay with it, you get it. Poetry is not something you you get here, you get it here. It goes from here to here. It doesn't go from here to here. So if you'll let yourself just get it and soak in it, there'll be some ahas that come along. A part of our frustration is we think we have to control it and manage it. You can't do that with poetry. It will manage and control you. You just read it and let it do what it does in you. And so in the four quartets, he has these two lines that I want to share with you. And listen for echoes of Acts chapter 2 and echoes of John's preaching in T.S. Eliot's two lines. The dove descending breaks the air with flame of incandescent terror, of which the tongues declare the one discharge from sin and error. The only hope, or else despair, lies in the choice of pyre or pyre, to be redeemed from fire by fire. Who then devised the torment? Love. Love is the unfamiliar name behind the hands that wove the intolerable shirt of flame which human power cannot remove. We only live, only suspire, consumed by either fire or fire. The call on this Advent reading this morning is choose the fire of the Holy Spirit. If you have not fled the wrath to come, you can do that this morning. What should you do? Well, one of the things, one way you could do that is to come forward during the Eucharist or after. After the benediction, you come, you could kneel at one of these altars and you could pray on your own. And you could say, Lord, today I'm choosing Holy Spirit fire. I want to tuck myself underneath you. I want to drink from the well of salvation. And I'm deciding this morning to start. Brianna is here. Pull up your hand, Brianna. Brianna has gifts of evangelism and prophecy and a real heart for any who come to church on Sunday morning and may not be saved yet. You may not be walking with the Lord yet. And she's expressed concern that we need to offer this every Sunday. So if you want to get saved this morning, you want to take that step this morning, you can come and pray, or you can connect with Brianna and say, pray with me, help me. And she will not only pray with you, but she will help you take next steps. As we say often here, don't leave home without it. Don't leave here without tucking yourself underneath the fire of the Holy Spirit. Take a few moments to quiet yourself and reflect on what has been said, and then I'll lead us in the prayers of the people and at the table of the Lord.